Welcome to the Chicago Gamepreneur Podcast. We'll talk to fellow entrepreneurs and share stories of success, failures, and epic failures in the quest to understand the business, art, and science of the indie revolution in the city of big shoulders.
And welcome to another episode of the Chicago Gamepreneur Show. I'm Kewan Hong with my co-host, Rob Blocker.
Howdy.
And we've got a special guest from Chicago Loot Drop today.
It's Mike Chuck Bretzloff.
Hello.
And so we just like to talk a little bit, first about an event that just wrapped up, Bit Bash, which I think went fabulously.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit in the earlier podcast with mm-hmm. Jamie. Actually, a lot of bit.
Yep. but Loot Drop was a co-sponsor.
Yeah, we partner with Indy City Collective a little bit to help them with the tickets and such. And so we were able to, just glad to kind of help, you know, get it off the, you know, partner with them a little bit to get it off the ground and going, because it's definitely an event. And just like, you know, when they told us about it, I'm like, yes, whatever we can do to make sure this happens and help facilitate, you know, kind of getting off the ground.
Please, I will give blood.
Yeah.
Whatever you need.
You know, because it sounded awesome, and sure enough, it was.
Yeah.
So I sounded wrong. It sounded like I had like a question mark at the end. That's just me, my weird like inflection. It was unquestionably awesome.
Yeah.
Large exclamation point.
Large exclamation.
That.
Yes.
but maybe for our new listener, you introduce what Loot Drop is.
Sure.
Chicago Loot Drop.
Chicago Loot Drop is a charity, and we work to unite the geeks and gamers and nerds of like the Chicagoland area.
Big rift between geeks and nerds.
Yes, big. We don't. Whatever
Jets
people.
And sharks here.
However you choose to identify, if you have a major preference, like oh, I'm not gonna go to that thing because it's a nerd. Like, well, we got you covered for geeks as well. If you feel so passionate
something
about
for everybody, really.
Something for everybody. and so we try to bring all those groups together, whatever you consider yourself as, for one common, cause, which, for the last 5 years, 4 years has been, raising money to buy books and toys and games with Comer Children's Hospital at University mm-hmm. of Chicago, which is like in partnership with, Child's Play, the larger international organization. I feel like thankfully on this podcast, and with probably your audience, I don't have to explain what Child's Play is, but I can if you want me to.
Well, it's the Penny Arcade.
It's the Penny Arcade, yeah. Because sometimes people are like, I don't know what Penny Arcade is. I'm like, I don't know. You don't live on the internet as much as I do, so maybe that's what you don't. But, so yeah, Comer is the local participating hospital mm-hmm. With Child's Play, because for years, Chicago wasn't on the map. So we kind of started initially, just as kind of to be the people in the local area, to finally get Chicago on the map, because talking to the people at Child's Play, they had tried, you know, they're out in Seattle though, you know, they Googled Children's Hospital Chicago,
right.
And at the time it was Children's Memorial, now it's Lurie, is like all that kind of comes up. And so like, no, there's more, well, let us find, so let us search it out for you, and then we wanted to actually, you know, beyond that, put on events to raise mm-hmm. funds, and we ended up going, since we're doing, like, terrestrial events, you know, where money is coming to us.
As opposed to, like, aeronautical?
No, like, because, like, Child's Play is very ad hoc. Anybody can do a fundraiser for it,
mm-hmm.
So you'll have a lot, you'll see, if you look at their events calendar, you'll see maybe a lot of things, like, yeah, we're gonna, like, have a Mario Kart tournament, like, out on college campus, like, Mario Kart tournament, you know, in the whatever activity, blah blah blah, or multi-purpose room or whatever, and they'll set up
mm-hmm.
some stuff, and then you're just handing cash to a dude, and you're trusting this dude's gonna, which, you know, on college is probably fine, but so we since we're throwing like larger, more involved events, we went full 501c3, so the money,
there's level of coordination,
so well, yeah, when the money
right.
comes to us, that is tax deductible. It also in terms of partners and venues, they greatly prefer, yeah, that we're legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a nonprofit, but also, you know, recognized by federal government as a legitimate not-for-profit with tax deductible status.
Because
that's a whole lot of paperwork and stuff that they make you go through. And so, you know, it's not something I don't... Well, I'm sure people
it's
do
not
it.
Easy, yeah.
I'm sure it's something, yeah, people can try to do to be a bit more to do a scam or something like that. But that, oh, it was so, so much work. So we've been doing since 2010.
How much money have you raised?
Ballpark it, yeah.
Total, I think I should remember this.
It's like one small pickup truck, maybe half a dump truck.
Yeah. we've raised. Let me think of this for 1 second.
In Sacagawea coins,
like 20,000, maybe. We didn't make any money our first year. It was bad. We way over our heads.
We're all startups here, so we all know what making any money is like.
We went way over our heads. We run it out. We had a rock band tournament at Lincoln Hall. Great venue. Great expensive venue. kind of pretty much took all the money we made from the event.
Broke even. Oh no!
We're talking about that. But we actually took
toys away from
children. Exactly. We went to the hospital. I was like, "Yeah, we need no." We broke even. Anyway,
good.
I don't even know how to. We had to it's one of those things. Well, startup. Yeah, we broke even because we had to basically pay for it.
Throw in some money. Yeah.
Everyone puts their pound of flesh in, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, that's what happened. So we've been, slowly but surely been growing. Following year, we did another rock band tournament with the Mini Bosses actually played a concert as well as part of it.
Oh, yeah. They're cool. Mm-hmm.
And so that was cool. And then kind of since then, we've started doing more things than just like holiday events. We've been doing stuff year-round. So we've been at C2E2 and had, for the last couple of years, we've been doing this thing called Drawing Dreams, where kids from the hospital have been either drawing or writing short stories of themselves as superheroes, and then some of the artists, local artists who are also going to be, in the artist alley at C2E2, have been doing drawings and or like even comic book pages of based on the kids' stories. And so we use those original drawings to make money.
Axe Cops.
Yeah, kind of like Axe Cop. exactly. Actually, man. We should explain that, because at C2E2, people would know what Axe Cop is. Like, oh, it's like Axe Cop. Like, oh! And they'd probably make it a much faster explanation. but then the kids get prizes
Pony Corn Adventure. Have you played that?
I haven't.
Sissy's Pony Corn Adventure was a game that was... all the art and the game design was done by, I think, like a 5-year-old girl. And then father coded it up in Flash, and you can play it online. And there, it was so popular that there was just like a little PayPal download donate button at the bottom.
Yeah.
And that paid for her to go to college.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we haven't raised that much money yet for anybody's college tuition. But it's been a really popular fundraiser.
Yeah, the
that
events
we do
are really neat.
On the show floor.
Maybe you want to talk about the one coming up in October, right?
I can do that. Yeah, we try to have kind of interesting events because, I don't know, there's plenty of, I guess, other events out there, charities with, come to this dinner, come to that, whatever. But we find that kind of boring, and often, yes, what our event ideas will come from me just being bored and wanting something cool to do. So in this case, we are having our event's called Shambler's Ball. And it's a ball in the Jane Austen style. It's an English country dance. We have dance instructors and a live band that will be leading everybody in that type of dance with different lines and dance around in circles and that sort of thing, like you would see in the BBC special or the Keira Knightley one. I've seen that one anyway. So that in itself is fun enough and not something that people probably do all too often aware of where you would go to do that. It's actually a group that's outside the city. And so they don't do a lot of that or almost any events really in the city. So we're bringing them in for this one. Because we're geeks, gamers, and nerds, all three, it's not just a regular old ball. It's called Shambler's Ball because at the end,
You break everything and then break the place everything is in shambles.
No, because then the ball will get attacked by zombies.
Ah.
Like the more recent edition of Pride and Prejudice. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. We're dancing. Oh, and then you know what? Why not just have some zombies show up? Why not? And it's October 27th, so just in time for Halloween. So
perfect.
So that's going to be...
So do you need zombies?
We do need zombies. Everyone's going to have a chance to become a zombie. But if people want to be more involved, we are going to have, somebody's got to be the initial wave of zombies. So those people, if people are willing, we're going to have some people in costume to kind of get that rolling. It's...
Well, they know the Thriller dance. That seems like another dance worth learning.
The game we're playing is just kind of a game of my own creation along with Andy North, who does this great game show called Dodgeball Dungeon, where you're going through a dungeon playing and you fight via dodgeballs. But it's like a game show. You're called up from the audience and all that sort of thing. We did an event with them recently called Mega Dungeon, which is this epic version of Dodgeball Dungeon. And so he's very good at making these live action kind of games. Crowds to participate in. So we were talking, and so one thing about maybe just the entrance and even possibly the movement of the zombies being controlled by the tempo of Thriller. So you're right on, exactly. Awesome. I was like, I think we should like make them also do the dance. I don't know if people are gonna want to learn it, but I'll buy you a drink or something if you'll learn. If you'll do the full Thriller dance, but
I think they should pay you. I mean,
oh yeah, maybe.
You don't give me opportunities to perform the live Thriller dance in real life
in zombie costume.
In zombie costume, exactly.
So I think it'll have to happen somehow. I mean, right? Be dumb not to. We'll see if I can get people.
Watch a YouTube video.
Want to do it? There is like a step by step. There's a. Have you heard of what's it called? Thrill the World.
No.
It's basically trying people all around the world doing Thriller at the same time, and so it's like a Guinness Book thing. It happens every year, and so they have like a instructional video on how to do Thriller, and it fills in the gaps on when they're not actually dancing in the music video, and that sort of thing. So kind of it's. So that way you're dancing through the whole thing. It's pretty good. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm definitely in.
Yeah.
For the event, either as sure. Zombie or zombie fodder, I'll be good with that.
Yeah. Well, if you're just a human, you get a chance to do a bit of both. But if you want to do the full on makeup, well then once you're in makeup,
you can be in makeup for the other part too, like a powdered wig and some blush.
So, I was actually going to ask if it's okay to come as, Captain Mal Reynolds. Because he does go to a ball in Firefly,
he does.
Right?
So. He does. I mean, it's Halloween, if you want to wear a costume. I mean, everyone's going to... It is...
We will cross swords.
Yes.
A swat?
A swat?
So there's, like, a dress code. It's cocktail attire or dressy casual, which basically just means... Don't wear jeans. you guys can't see this, but Kiwan looks very good right now. This would be fine if you were to put a tie or a jacket on, even better. Especially if you're coming, people coming from work. But
we'll post a handy dandy guide on the Facebook page.
Jacket preferred, but not required. But definitely preferred. Not we're not gonna kick anybody out. But.
It's white tie.
Because it's a ball, everyone's being looking fancy. We're gonna have photographers, people get their photo taken not necessarily with the zombie, but with like zombie backdrop. There's gonna be catering, so once again, coming from work, you don't have to worry too much about food. We'll have some stuff there for you to eat.
And how much for this amazing experience?
Well, what day it is? Almost the end of September right now while we're recording this. So you have a few more days to get a ticket at the $20 price. Otherwise, it goes up to $25 in October, and then it's going to be $30 at the door.
All right.
That is so cheap.
And it's for charity.
And you're helping the children.
And it's for charity. Yeah.
Actually, but, I paid $30 to have food delivered to me, and I can dress up, I can get eaten by zombies and help children for $30. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
There you go. So
and the food.
And food,
you,
right.
You also get the
I
thing
also
that
get
you,
to
eat.
Food's not included in the food is an add-on if you choose to.
Gotcha.
So food is an add-on. Price on that hasn't been determined yet because menu hasn't been determined yet. Uh-huh. But that'll be announced as well, and also so. But yes, so I don't know if people tell them, oh, $20 for dinner and the dance, like, not so much. For the dance.
I misunderstood, forgive
that's,
me.
That's my mistake. Yeah, I should have explained that better. But yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
And the website for our listeners to grab tickets?
Yes, you can go to Chicago Loot Drop's website is chicagolootdrop.org. That'll be the main thing at the top of the site. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, just at /Chicago Loot Drop.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to find what the heck this LO thing is that's been people have been tweeting about and posting about on other social networks this week. Don't know what that is. Also, and then if you just want to go directly to the tickets, which you can get to from any of those places, it's shamblersball.brownpapertickets.com.
So, all right, very cool.
Yeah, so that's.
Well, I'll be there.
Go there,
and I'll definitely be excited.
As will I.
Cool. Act fast, guys.
Yeah.
Get those tickets on the cheap.
You're already too slow because this is being recorded before you're listening to it.
Oh no.
You know, this show's a lot about like. Starting up a business or, you know, organization. So I know you're running a little short on time, but if you have just a minute to talk about, like, how you got started and how you got, like, that first event off the ground.
Okay.
Because like, that's usually the hardest one, right? Just that first one, getting started, getting the traction.
Yeah. It started actually with me and my friend Eric Hansen, who's we ended up co-founding Chicago Loot Drop. It was actually we both had an interest before we even met each other of, yeah, getting Chicago involved in Child's Play. And we had both kind of taken our steps and trying to, like, talk to Child's Play about that. And then we just ended up at...
I keep thinking about Chucky.
I know.
I'm so sorry.
The Child's Play charity. I'll say the full title.
I know it in my mind, but in my heart.
But in your heart, you mean Chucky. Yes. That would be that would really confuse people if we did a Child's Play event for Child's Play.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Levels. Yeah. Levels.
And then ride the kick back up.
And then, yes.
Out of the dream.
We both, turns out, before we even met each other, were kind of had the same interest. And then when I kind of first moved to Chicago, like in 2008, there was finally a Child's Play event. Somebody's putting on an event for Child's Play. Still no hospital involved, but mm-hmm. in general, still it was a Chicago event happening for Child's Play. So we went to that. It was being hosted by Midway Chicago, and it's supposed to be a rock band tournament as well as a Mortal Kombat versus DC tournament as well. I'm like, oh, we'll go for the rock band tournament. And it was at this bar in Wicker Park. I don't think it's there anymore. And rather than being this kind of happy, fun event, it turned out, you know, like the day before is basically when everybody, when Midway Chicago closed.
Oh, no.
So it was a bit of a downer. And they didn't have Rock Band. They just had Mortal Kombat DC, which came out just like a week before, and nobody knew how to play it. So we're just like, well, look, we could do better than this, right?
Famous last one.
Exactly. And so then I think the next year I go to a lot of shows. And so I'm on like every venue's mailing list from whatever tickets I bought. So just this email from Lincoln Hall is like, have your holiday event here. And it was like, there's a discount and everything. And so I was like, hey, we did fall for it. And like, hey, do we want to actually, you know, do that thing we've been talking about? But we talked about two things. One, we talked about opening a bar, Which thankfully we didn't do, and thankfully Geek Bar is is stepping in before we totally. I mean, knowing that it's how hard it is to open a place in Chicago, especially talking to Geek Bar, like you guys can have all of that. I don't want to deal with that. I'm glad it's just like an idle conversation we had a long time ago. But then we're like, well, do you want to let's do a Child's Play event? So that's how I got started. We formed as a nonprofit and had the event in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow. That is an aggressive timeline.
Yeah. I think about it now. I was like, holy crap. So yeah, that never again with that, doing that again that way. It was okay. It was a pretty good turnout, pretty good event. It definitely, people like playing Rock Band on the stage at an actual rock venue.
That's pretty cool.
They've got that like 220-inch, screen, and the sound at Lincoln Hall is like some of the best sound in the city. So you've like never really heard Rock Band or seen it played until you've seen it like that. And it was awesome. And you're up there like, okay, it's really easy to get into the, oh, I'm a rock star, because you're in a venue, you're not in your living room, you got an audience in front of you.
Another like TV facing.
Oh yeah. We hooked up TVs for the people on stage.
Performing.
Okay. Yes. But
that's cool.
Everybody turns around and is facing. Yeah, so you're facing out towards the audience. And so that was a really good event. Pretty good turnout for, but yeah, we getting started, have no idea. Like our poster was, we didn't have a graphics guy, so our poster was designed in, it was a Word document. It was a Word document.
Wow. Did you use Word art?
We grabbed some graphic a little bit, because it was mostly just Word. Like Eric made it, and he put like a little star guy on it, and I ended up putting like some little lines, like let's add some like just lines to it, so it's like something and not just text. And then my job is web programming. I do like back end stuff, not front end design to make anything pretty. So I do a lot of stuff in Drupal, so at least that I was able to build a Drupal site real quick, grabbed a theme, like an existing theme, because I'm not designing that. Like I said, our poster was made in Word, so clearly we're not going to design anything. And we were able to kind of take care of that real quick. But yeah, it was definitely started very quickly, and we had no idea what we were doing. And at this point, you kind of feel like you don't. And then some people like that are maybe starting their own like nonprofit or whatever. Like they come with you questions and you have answers for them. You're like, wow, when did I learn all this?
I'm sure you learned a ton from that first.
Yeah. So stuff about, state, federal, like legalese crap that I know at this point for random reasons, as well as, we've done a lot of events in different venues and our events are like always different. Mm-hmm. We've done the Rock Band tournament, but we did that twice, but it was a concert the second time, so that was different. The only thing we ever did, we've done twice that have been basically the same, was we did, it's called Press Start to Drink, and we did double features of video game movies. So originally we did Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter, and then this year we did Scott Pilgrim versus Wreck-It Ralph.
Nice.
They were really, really, really fun events, and easy enough to run. But yeah, we always kind of change things up, and when we do stuff, we need to maybe reuse some of our older ones, so we aren't always starting from scratch with every event. But
we appreciate the creativity. They're always fun, fun to see like what's happening next with the loot drop. So
yeah, so we're definitely gonna bring back. We did last year. We did a sing along to the animated version of The Hobbit, and we're definitely bringing me back. We've been asked about it. We're like, yeah, well, we got it in the, it's like the Disney vault. We've got that one. We can do it again. We don't want to do it every year, but we're definitely going to bring that one back.
Nice.
Which will be nice, because the work's been done for that. We had a graphics guy, an animator, do the words, because this doesn't exist. We're the only people in the world that have a copy of The Hobbit with a little bouncing ring sing-along thing on it. So I guess in the way we created art, we remixed art a little bit. So we have that, so we can just do it again now. So, and maybe we'll do Return of the King as well, but Return of the King wasn't good.
Mm.
There are, it does get long. There's lots of like fake out endings at the end, right? So
the animated one, the Rankin Bass animated one, yeah. So
right, I need to take myself back another decade.
Yeah, even earlier, like yeah. So yeah, we still have that. Like my mom found like those the like record albums of the soundtracks in the basement.
Well, fun side note, I noticed that on your Twitter you posted that you found a TIE Fighter. Was that you?
Oh, yeah. I found, I was digging out some comics from my parents' basement. And I started going, I found the box of old PC games. And... and they're the old ones, so like that old size box that's really
right,
big.
The big
yeah.
boxes,
like
yeah.
a big box, and then it's got the little CD jewel case, and it just shakes around in there.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, I know there's more stuff down here, so I kind of went to this other corner, and who knows how I remember where any of that crap is in the basement? It's a mess. But sure enough, I found TIE Fighter, and it's on 3.5 floppies. It's like yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I just remember like.
I
For
have
me,
a
it was X-Wing.
If you need it.
Those things, I'm guessing, probably... I don't know if they work anymore.
For me, it was X-Wing, but I remember my buddy was a TIE Fighter guy. But those games were so formative.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in your young, like, gaming, like you know, just portfolio, right? There's such standouts.
Well, I mean, I've got... So I found TIE Fighter. I couldn't find Dark Forces or Dark Forces 2, but I did find Jedi Knight 2. But I also found like Star Wars Rebellion because clearly this was at the point where I was buying anything that had Star Wars on it.
Those are all strong games.
Rebellion?
Rebellion is very iffy. Rebellion is very iffy.
Yeah, Rebellion wasn't so great. It was cool to kind of like, you know, they had like the 3D space fights where you're like the commander and they're kind of flying at each other.
I'm just saying it's not a terrible heuristic to just like buy any video game that says Star Wars.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't probably... I don't know when the last time I bought a Star Wars game was.
Dark Forces is great.
Oh, Dark Forces
Jedi Knight 2 would have been the
Jedi
last
Knight
one I bought.
It's great.
I was going to say Shadows of the Empire, but Jedi Knight 2 came after that. Wait,
Jedi Outcast, Knights of the Old Republic, like...
Oh, duh. Well, I'm an idiot. I'm like, I haven't played a Star Wars game. I'm like, Knights of the Republic. Dodoy.
Everyone's played that one. Yeah, you know, it's actually not a terrible heuristic.
AM Rogue Squadron, I played that on GameCube. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. See, now I'm in, yeah, my brain just doesn't work. I just haven't played one in a long
Jedi
time.
Jedi Academy.
That is the only one in that series that I did. I never made it through, because I played, yeah, Outcast, I didn't get to Academy.
But yeah, it's fun just looking at
the same engine, so.
Sometimes I see it on Steam, I'm like.
Maybe this time.
Maybe this time.
Exactly. Semi-local game because Raven
it?
Made that.
Oh yeah, and they're Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like the few like I played. What, they did Soldier of Fortune, right?
Yeah, yeah, way back when.
That game was crazy. Oh my!
We all had a good time the first time
before
we played Soldier of Fortune and just watched like gore everywhere.
That's a rib cage. Nice.
But yeah, it's fun just looking back and seeing how like certain games were just so formative for just a group of people.
Oh yeah,
it's not just like you had an experience with TIE Fighter. It's like everyone at this age that was into computer games loved TIE Fighter, and they're like, I could probably kill like 100 X-Wings on TIE Fighter. That's how good I was. So
that was horrible. I'm pretty sure I was really bad at that game. I'll blame the computer. It seemed to run really really slow.
Could have been the interface too.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I had a joystick. I had like a really, really crappy flight stick or whatever.
Schmancy.
You know it. The best you can get. Remember like the Best Buy? They used to have like an aisle of like flight sticks. Just all these different like, you know.
You mean CompUSA?
We didn't have a CompUSA around where I grew up. Hmm. We just had Best Buy. I sat outside.
I didn't see a
that Best
Buy
the day it opened, like in the morning. My dad's like, "You want to go to this new electronics store?" I'm like, "Sure." So we ended up sitting outside Best Buy on this cold, cold day. I'm like 6 or 7 or whatever, and it was like 5 actually. Because then it wasn't that long after that we got our first computer, like a 286.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Best Buy was that old because
it
only
is.
Made its way to the East Coast, like in. I don't know. I want to say like 2004, five. Or
what?
Yeah.
Oh, no, crazy. Man. It's like, because I grew up in the Champaign area, in Champaign and then kind of towns around it. And so, yeah, no, it's kind of any town I've been in. Granted, I've been in Illinois my whole life. But, yeah, there's a Best Buy somewhere. Yeah. There's a Best Buy nearby somewhere.
There has been a Best Buy since the beginning of time.
It's always been here somewhere.
And it always will be.
What Best Buy did Moses go to?
I remember when game had box tablets. Art was a thing. You remember when you would go in and you just like look at the box art and be like, this game must be cool because the box art is just blowing
Yeah,
my
when
mind
that
right
was
now.
Like a component of your buying decision.
Yeah.
I
well,
think
especially
I
as
lucky,
a kid. But, I mean, yeah. you didn't wear, I mean, especially like as a little kid, you're pretty much illiterate.
The internet is not really on your radar. So like
sure,
you can't
yeah.
look up reviews.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking, well, I'll go to this YouTube thing and watch a review of this. No, it's like
yeah.
this is shiny.
Like,
and it has a cool
well, I
picture
think
on
it. Our first PC game that we got when we got that 286 we got the 286 at Best Buy. Whole family's there to get this family PC and like you can get some games. So we got one game called Murder Club or something like that. Which I did find, along with TIE Fighter, I found the little notebook that comes with it, and you're supposed to like write clues down, whatever. Never did solve that. Tried to play it later as a teenager, and still couldn't solve the damn murder.
I'm glad it was a mystery, and you didn't commit the murder as a
I wonder if there's a Let's Play of that. Go home and look up and see if there's a Let's Play on YouTube.
It's amnesia. It was you all along.
Exactly. But Space Quest 2, which so I don't think I picked up Murder Club, I think maybe my siblings did, but I definitely grabbed Space Quest 2 because it's
space,
and you know I like Star Wars. You know, a little kid would then like Star Wars in the 80s, so picked up Space Quest 2. No idea what it was, didn't know what an adventure game was. Don't think I really knew how to type because you had to type in your commands.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was.
Awesome.
That's how it used to be. That's how you rented your games. You know, back when people rented games, you don't know what these games are. You just, this one looks cool. Just grabbing it by the box art.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you can do that now? Do you think you can go into it? Well, no. You
they
have to
still
erase
have,
all
like,
your
Apple stores with, like, those big boxes. And
oh, that's true, yeah.
Okay.
Software
one,
in them.
One place you can get them.
But if,
and
like,
Walmart and, like, Target and stuff, they still have boxes.
You should do that on Steam. After this, just go hop on Steam and just go flip through games and look at whatever like
the picture is.
And like, I'm going to, but don't look at the Metascore. Don't look at any of your friends have bought it. The problem
you
is you're
to,
too
like,
informed.
Yeah,
you
have
to
stay
find,
off
like,
Polygon for like, you know, a couple of months. So you just like, have no idea what's coming.
Maybe you could do something that just strips all the text out. So you just be like,
yeah,
just
switch to a different language.
Yeah, switch it to like Japanese, and then go.
Yeah,
there we go. New experiment for tonight.
Yeah, let me know how that goes. It'll be. I'm
just
sure
like,
you're gonna
you have to drink five shots.
This is left as an exercise to the listener. Go on Steam, change your language. Just browse through, see what you like the pictures of,
and then
buy it.
Not the pictures of the game. Like, the concept
just
art.
The icon.
The icon, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man, there's some bad-looking icons out there, too. I don't know.
It's true.
You need to focus on... Come on, people, you need to up your game on your Steam
icon. Icon game.
Exactly.
Because after this, everyone's just going to buy based on the icon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That could be a... you know what?
The
that could actually be a fun
irrevocable.
Steam sale game. Because at least then you're not out of a whole lot of money.
Yeah, that's true.
If it goes... Poorly,
when
which
is
it will.
It will inevitably go poorly. All right,
cool.
So
how much? Well, before we say goodbye, how much did you raise just from Bitbash?
From Bitbash,
how much went to you to Moondrop? Not you, Mike Truck.
Not to me, Mike Truck. We don't actually have all the final numbers in for Bitbash yet because we get a portion of like all the tickets and stuff, as well as sponsorship money, and some of that like sponsors and stuff is still. Coming in. So we don't really know what the total is on that yet, but we just ourselves the day of we raised like $600-$700 just on
just
the
from,
floor
by being there.
Just by being there. Because
nice.
We have
t-shirts and stuff
we have
like
the comfiest, softest t-shirts. They're so good.
Are those available on your website?
They're not. They're available at events. So if you want one,
You have to come to the Shambler's
Ball. To the Shambler's Ball, and we'll have t-shirts there.
We don't have appropriate attire for this Shambler's
Ball. But you can take it home, and you can, like, you know, you want to sleep in it because it's super nice and comfy. So, but yeah, it's great. People like wear the shirts all the time, and we get people like tweeting at us.
I gotta get one of those shirts.
Wearing their shirts because
you're saying the words like super comfy.
Super.
Oh boy!
We actually a couple of weekends ago, some volunteers and Lootrap board members, we ran a 5K for a charity that a friend of ours is involved with. Which is the only way you're going to get me to do like a charity run. It's early in the morning and it's running. I'll just write you the check, but just
if no one's chasing you,
why
run?
But the shirts that came with that, they are, I was kind of upset. They are softer, but they also feel like pajamas. That's what I kind of decided. I'm
like you can't wear them while you're awake.
Because
you'll just want to go to sleep.
Exactly.
It's too far.
Yeah. But
maybe not first date kind of thing.
Maybe not.
Although if they accidentally brush your shoulder or something,
that's true.
It could be, well, she could just fall asleep. I don't know.
That's what I'm going for.
Exactly.
Oh my. That could mean so many things. Let's move on.
Anyway, moving on.
I know that was really good for us. Not just in terms of the amount of money we raised. But also, like I said, we'll try to bring together, the geeks and the gamers and nerds of Chicagoland and like other things we go to, like C2E2, which is kind of especially regional, even kind of national, because some people like fly in from like all over the country to come to C2E2. But this is all, and they're all more comics nerds and that sort of thing, especially since we're the Child's Play, we have a bit more of a gamer focus. I mean, this is, like, perfect demographics. People are local. They're interested in what we're doing. They're not like, oh, I'm here from Ohio for the weekend. Well.
They're valuable additions to your mailing list.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, yes, yes. So it was a really, really good event for us. It was just a really good event for me. I loved it. I love all, like, those. I love those types of games. And it's a great place to play them. It's not always the type of thing you maybe always bust out. I mean, how often do you even really have like a gaming get together where you've got four
I definitely
controllers
don't have
anymore?
A relax harder set at
home. exactly choose a tron. I would love to have one of those. Oh man. Or just Bruce Willis and
what's his name, Lethal Weapon,
Mel Gibson. Bruce Willis and Mel Gibson tangoing.
Tango in Paradise Simulator by Andy Saya.
I wrecked that game. I wrecked it. The girl had been monitoring it all day. She was like, nobody has destroyed the ballroom as well as you. I'm like, yeah.
Thank you.
Dang. And this was actually, I was on my
way
out.
But did you feel the romance? I mean, it seems like you concentrated on the wreckage. You can wreck things in any game.
Hey, no, my dancers were like the wreckage because they were consumed by a passion.
By passion, yes.
The best kind of
passion. Exactly. It's like things got out of hand. So, yes.
Great. Well, on that note,
we should probably
say goodbye because we know you have limited time. It's 7:03.
I'll sneak it.
But listen, it's been great having you on.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you at Shambler's. And we're actually hoping to get more of the Loot Drop crew on here in a bit.
Yeah, bring them on. They're much more interesting than me anyway. And probably have more intelligent things to say.
Impossible.
Yes.
You guys will talk to Eric and he'll give you all sorts of crazy, I did my master's in blah, 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 and digital humanities.
I didn't know you could get
therefore.
A master's in blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's a fill
it's
in the
very
blank.
It's very prestigious.
he just gave him the check and they gave him a master's
so
and he just wrote in whatever. He just wrote in whatever, yeah.
Sounds like the Gallatin School at NYU. Zing! For those of you who went to NYU and nobody else.
Ouch.
Please don't unsubscribe.
So, Mike Chuck Bretzloff, do you want to give us the deets on all the websites again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're Chicago Loot Drop at chicagolootdrop.org. We are facebook.com/chicagolootdrop, twitter.com/chicagolootdrop, and that is where you can find all the information for Shambler's Ball and tickets. It is Monday, October 27th. at 7 p.m. at Public House Theater. Tickets are $20 in September, $25 in October, and $30 at the door.
All right, thank you much. Smooth.
Cocktail attire and dressy casual is required, though we won't, like...
Well, you have some
don't show up in jeans. You're going to feel weird showing
don't
up in jeans.
No, stay classy.
Yeah. Classy. Super classy.
And t-shirts will be available.
See, and for it's and t-shirts will be available. Exactly. Exactly. So.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we're back. So let's do the quick Bit Bash recap. I know that you were there. You're volunteering. You were there for the whole thing.
Yes.
How was it from your perspective? Was it just insane?
It was insane. I was running around the whole time. I didn't get to play any games.
Oh no.
Well, I played Tango at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that's it. I didn't play any multiplayer games, even though that's like the whole point.
Yeah, I guess I'll say the funny part is that we had Jamie on here before, and she was worried at the time about attendance.
Yeah.
And they were saying, we need 150 people to do this event again next year. They're thinking, like, okay, maybe 300? What was it? Actual total attendance?
1,400 people.
It was insane. It was just wall-to-wall people.
And a lot of people stayed for a really long time, because it's a 10-hour event. There were some people that were there for, like, 6 of those hours.
Yeah, I was there for a good long while, and I even like took a break to go get food and uh-huh. came back. But a lot of people just stuck around the whole time, so it was the transition was actually really neat. It was very cool that you had like one set of games that you played during the daytime, and then you know you went and got some food, came back, and there's like a completely different set of stuff going on.
I'm glad you like that. We're never doing it again. No, I mean, that's something we talk about, is that, mm-hmm. like, that was very difficult.
And yeah, effort-wise, I think it would be.
There were people who had their heart set on playing a certain game, and if they showed up at the wrong time, it might not have been there. So, we may do it anyway. Yeah. Just try and make it clearer what's happening, but who knows? There may not be a next year. There could be another Chicago fire. Anything could happen.
That's true. We live on the edge. The Choosertron line was actually insane. Like, I was like, I should probably play like Choosertron at some point, and went, and there were like 40 people there.
Google Choosertron, people.
Yeah, it was really popular. I enjoyed Crypt of the Necrodancer, even though I'm really bad at it. It was just fun to, you know, random strangers, you get to dance and do a little role-liking, so that was a good time.
Right on. The most popular thing, and maybe it was just because of the way we placed it, but the most popular thing, I think, spectation-wise, was Gang Beasts.
Yes. Gang Beasts was hilarious to watch.
And we put it outside for the night so that random passers-by could watch blobs beat each other up.
I have to ask, is there an element of gang... I don't know if this is programmed or just happens... But there'll be, you know, the beasts get in, like, compromising positions. And it's just really funny to watch. Because it's supposed to be a wrestling game.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes they get in compromising positions.
Just even in wrestling, they do.
That's true. It's just true to real life, I guess. But that was the most fun for me, just watching Gang Beasts and being, like, the one guy laughing when two beasts got in the corner and just went at it. So.
Yeah. I mean, the gimmick of it, or I shouldn't say gimmick because that's negative. But the sort of distinguishing feature is that it's all procedural geometry. Like the actual beasts are like when you move the tip of their arm, then that deformation is all like governed by physics. So that's why it can get funny and weird.
It was a blast to watch. Anything surprise you? Anything that you weren't expecting that kind of...
I guess we were surprised that the arcade room was going to be so packed all the time. We kind of put that... So there was a separate room that had several arcade machines. It had the Indy City Arcade. It had the Max Gelman hat stacking game. It had a fitting, which turned into... Tango and Paradise Simulator in the Switch, and Crypt of the Necrodancer, and that room was just like packed, and not just because people that was the only way to get to the bathroom, but everyone was trying to squeeze in there. And we figured, like, okay, it's a small space, there's a few games, not too many for the area. That'll be sort of a relaxing space where people can go to kind of get away from the crowds in the main room. Mm-hmm. But no, it was way more packed in the arcade room than it was out in the main room. So the escape ended up being like an outside space. Luckily, we had good weather. So.
Yeah, the weather was fantastic. Food is great.
Yep. Many thanks to Jerk, Beaver's Donuts, and... Wiener, what is it? Chubby Wiener.
Chubby Wieners, yes.
Chubby Wiener Jerk Beaver.
Yep. No, no, that was not a pure coincidence. It's just the way it worked out. But the food was fantastic and well timed, so.
So, I can tell you numbers because I just heard them myself.
Would love to get
their estimates.
Uh-huh.
But it seems like we took in about $20,000.08
Just eight.
And when I say about exactly that amount, and then we spent around $15,000. So, and $5,000 of that was like buying equipment.
Okay.
So the soon to be nonprofit of Indy City is now in ownership of all this equipment. And on top of that, got $5,000 to take away. So the next event is basically going to be $10,000 cheaper.
Yeah, right. Because you have to pay for equipment, and you have the funds from this current one. So.
Yeah. So it was a financial success, and we were all very afraid that that was not going to be true.
That is fantastic. did you get to talk to any of the creators, get their thoughts on it? I know that we had a couple there, right?
Yeah, actually, the creator of Choose-A-Tron was there. And I think he really enjoyed getting, you know, the kudos. And, you know, like, everyone loves that game. There's
yeah.
no, like, I haven't met a single person who was like, eh, Choose-A-Tron, whatever. yeah, so. And then our good friend Andy Saya, who made Tango, was there as a volunteer and an organizer, and so, you know, got to just like watch people over their shoulder having fun. And he's made a bunch of new modes for the game since
nice.
Bitbash. Yeah, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but he made It's Raining Men mode, where there's just like ragdolls falling from the sky at all times, just like bouncing off the floor and the furniture.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing. yeah, this game is going to change the world.
It was also a really neat networking event, because you had a lot of people from industry there. I got to meet Puyi for the first time, like, in real
yeah.
life, so it was
so
cool.
The artist for Codemancer was there, and he lives up in the northern suburbs, so he doesn't get to visit the city that often, but he made a special trip because we were actually exhibiting some of his art.
How'd the art sales go? Because I know there were some
really
that just
well.
Sold out like
yeah,
right away. And...
There were a few that didn't do so well, and that was like kind of a combination of problems with the printing. Itself,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of, the printing was very last minute, so not everybody like knew exactly how it was going to work, and some of the printing didn't turn out too well. You know, visibility was not, and people hadn't worked with this printing technique, which I only heard about because of the event called Risograph.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure all the graphic designers and artists and listening are just like, oh, Risograph, yeah, duh. But
yeah,
the rest of us don't know
before,
what
yeah.
that is. So, and even some artists apparently don't know what that is. So, so that caused some friction. So there weren't like astounding sales on some of those. But overall, I think really, really well. Like, my friend, Robert Bacon, who made the Mario L map. Super Chicago.
Yeah,
that sold out in like the first hour.
Yeah, I had my eye on it, and then it was gone. I missed my minute, and it was gone.
So he's gonna have to bring more next time.
Yeah, but it was a great event, and it sounds like you'll do another one next year.
We want to, yeah.
Mm. Some other fashion.
We have to take a couple months off.
Yeah. I imagine that. I mean, it was an exhausting event to attend. I can't imagine what it'll like to actually plan and execute the whole thing. So,
cool. Do you want to do what we're?
Yeah, let's do the what we're.
I'm trying to remember. I just read. Oh, yeah. So I feel kind of badly about this. But I just read The Gate Thief, which is by Orson Scott Card. It's a young adult fiction, like fantasy story, because I need to read all of those. And but I took it out of the library because, you know, I don't believe in giving that man any money.
That's fair.
Yeah, but it was damn good.
Hmm.
Damn that guy with his fucking good writing. I don't know if I can say the F word. If
yeah,
not,
we can
it'll
bleep
it.
We'll bleep it.
We'll bleep that. But
his writing is really good.
It really makes, it makes me angry. Because I wish I could just hate him, you know, on every level. But I have to hate him just on a personal level. And
it's actually a quandary that a lot of people have been in, that like he's kind of reprehensible in his beliefs, but he is a good writer.
Yeah.
And so people have like a hard time reconciling that. Yeah. I totally get it. Yep.
And I mean, Ender's Game was like a huge, this was before I knew any of that stuff. I was a kid when I read Ender's Game, and it changed my life, man.
Yeah, no, Ender's Game was the same thing for me. It's one of those like landmark books, and you're kind of like, you know, what can I read that changes my perspective on things?
Uh-huh.
Ender's Game is one of those books. Yeah, so I'm right there with you that his writing is phenomenal. He is a reprehensible human being.
So. Yeah, so if you can separate art from the artist, and go check out that book by going to a library.
Right. Don't give him the monies. So I actually played a ton of Destiny, which was, when I looked back, it's probably the first AAA game that I've bought in probably 18 months or something. Ooh. Like that. I've been completely indie. I did play through Dishonored, but Dishonored was released like years and years ago, and I bought it, you know, for $15. So I did buy Destiny when it came out, like release day. And it's a very, like, people have very mixed opinions
because I've been watching Ryan Wiemeyer of the Hats play here in the co-op. Like, I probably watched him play like at least 10 hours. Just me sitting here watching him.
So here are my thoughts on Destiny. First, that it's like mechanically it's so solid. Like, the guys at Bungie, they know how to do shooters, right? All the mechanics just feel really good.
Shooting, reloading, jumping around.
It feels right. So that's the first thing that they did that I give them, you know, lots of props for. Like
10 out of 10.
Yep. The story is pretty awful. And I say that from somebody who, like, I will go to, you know, a theater on Saturday morning and pay, you know, the $6 or whatever for the ticket to watch some terrible, like, sci-fi movie. Right. I don't care. I enjoy that kind of like camping like that.
Yeah. Did you like what's the name? John, the guy from Mars.
Oh yeah. John something.
It's just so generic. Disney made this generic movie.
Yeah, and I definitely watched that.
yeah. And I kind of enjoyed it. It's just like
I enjoy
there.
Some sci-fi camp. I enjoy the good action. The problem with Destiny's story is that it wasn't even campy. It was just like out there. It was disconnected. It was
intended to be taken dead seriously.
Yeah, and it was, the tone was off.
Yeah.
The tone was way too serious. And then I think the also problem with like the actors, and that it all feels like they phoned in like from different locations at different times. So it feels very disconnected. I think that was my thing with the story. It felt disconnected. I mean, I played through the whole game, but really didn't feel like I was advancing anything story-wise.
Yeah, I when I was watching, you know, I watched him play from pretty early on. I couldn't tell at all what the story was. There's a traveler, there's the Vex, there's the, like, you're a guardian.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, all these terms, and they're all so generic sounding.
Yep.
And then even the, like, enemies, they start with, like, I don't know, what are some of the enemy names?
There's, like, knights and wizards and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, they're just, again, they're so generic, it's just, mm-hmm. like, why, they're not even trying.
Yeah, here. it's very odd that from Bungie, who actually put a fairly good story together for their first Halo. Like, the first Halo had a very, like, engrossing story with a good twist. To have them make something that feels so shallow is kind of surprising.
Hmm.
But I did play, like, I just couldn't stop playing Destiny. And then, like, someone pointed out on, I think it was on maybe New York Times or something, like, Destiny is Candy Crush as a shooter.
Wow.
And I was like, yes, it all makes sense.
That's very insightful.
Because their loot drop timing is so perfect in the way that...
Now we're just talking of loot drop in the conventional video game
sense. Right, in the mechanic sense. But the way they give you loot and the way they level you up is so perfect to keep bringing you back in.
Yeah.
That you don't even realize it, that that's what the draw is until it's, you know, like 20
And it's
hours
a lottery later. Because you can't even see what has dropped at the end of, like,
right.
a mission until you go back to Menu Planet.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... So Earth is a planet in the game, and all it is like, different menus you can open.
Yes.
You go to a guy, and that opens a menu. And then you have to go to another guy after you get the things from that menu and bring it to another menu by walking around in the world.
It's actually really funny because way back when, probably 10 years ago, I was working on a UT mod, and I wanted to build this kind of, like, RPG system around it, right? It was a shooter. It was a cooperative shooter. I wanted to build this RPG system around it. But I was doing it by myself. I had no, like, other resources, right? So I said, okay, I'm going to make this RPG area, but it's going to be all menus because I can't afford anything else.
Mm.
And that's what I did. Just like, okay, you click on this character and it brings up a menu and you can do things in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what Destiny did.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, they have this huge budget and all these voice
yeah.
actors, but it's the same, like, yeah, you bring up
well,
a menu.
What aggravates me is that you have to, like, sit through a 20-second loading screen to get to Menu Planet.
Mm-hmm.
When really,
there is no
you should be able to access those things from anywhere. Can't you just, like, call up the guy and be like, "Hey, what is this thing that
I'll
just picked up?"
The
or like,
code
"What's
on
the
it,
bounty? Then... What bounties do you have available?"
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's very. It's almost like they shoehorn that MMO mechanic in just to make it feel more MMO-ish.
Mm.
But yeah, it's definitely odd, and definitely the level of production seems off.
What do you think
somewhere.
About, like, the fact that random people show up in the single-player experience? Like, you occasionally just see
so
another
the,
player.
So the random encounters in single-player just didn't have an impact on what I was doing.
Mm.
But you can do things called strikes, which are basically raids. And that's when they, like, give you two people and they say, like, go kill a boss or something.
Cool.
I actually really enjoyed that. Because it's one of the only interactions I've had where I've basically been forced to do something social with other people, but it turns out really fun.
Mm.
Because you're all trying to achieve this common goal. There's no, like, voice communication, so, you know, people aren't insulting you. It's just basically, you have to do this thing, and you naturally kind of start working together as a team.
Mm.
And then you have epic things like, when one of your guys leaves and it's just you and the other dude and you're like, well, let's just try to do this. And when you actually do it, it's awesome. Like,
yeah.
You and this random stranger just did something amazing. So I've
and
actually...
And you dance together.
Yes. You dance, you sit,
salute.
And you wave. Yeah.
So, I don't know when the editor wants to put this in, but we should say something like, now would be a really good time to hear a word from our new sponsor.
Yes. Yes. So, we did get our first sponsor for the Chicago Game
Show. So exciting.
Yep.
It's it's entrepreneurial of you.
So entrepreneurial. But anyway, it's called our sponsor is InnoPrints. They're a local Chicago printing company, very small, based right out in like West Loop.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we kind of did the sponsorship is that I needed to get business cards for PAX.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because I do game things, I wasn't thinking about, like, oh, I should probably order a business card. So it was literally, like, 4 days before I had to leave. I was like, oh, shoot, I need to get business cards. So I went to their website, which is great. They have a website, and they gave me these nice little templates. So I designed my cards, and I sent them in.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted a specific type of card. And they called me, like, the next morning and were like, hey, if you want to get your cards in time for your date, you're going to have to go with, like, this different printing form, which is really great of them. They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to contact me, but they were like, look, we know it's probably important that you have these cards by this date.
Yeah.
So we'll suggest you do this instead. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great.
That's the genius of that only, like, a startup can offer, really, is that
personal service. Touch on it. And then they, you know, they called me up when my order was ready and they said, you know, you can come in whenever and handle it. And I actually, like, I took the elevator up with the guy that had been helping me the whole time. And I didn't even know it was him.
Wow.
But it was a really great experience. The cards turned out great. And, you know, because
it
was... Do you
have them on you? Can I see one?
Wait, I might. And the great part was is that since they're local, I didn't even have to pay shipping or anything. Mm. So... I do not have one on me, but I'll post one on the Facebook site. So, but yes.
Let's pretend you just handed me one.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's really professional.
It did turn out really good.
This paper quality is excellent. I like the thickness, the weight, the texture, the ink. Good choices. I don't know how many of those were choices by you and how many were defaults, but well done.
Yes. High quality work. A nice personal touch. And as indies, I mean, I know this is the last thing that you're thinking about is like, oh, I got to do like physical print stuff. So it's nice to have a company.
Business cards are different.
It's true.
I've had business cards since I was like in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was just to get girls.
There we go.
And maybe that's what your business cards are about too, but...
Yeah, we're not specifying any purpose here.
Yeah,
but...
you didn't say what you were going to do at PAX. Just that you needed business cards.
That's true. I just needed business cards.
But anyhow, it's really important. For meeting face-to-face, there is absolutely nothing better. I wish that like the Bump app had become a thing, but it totally didn't become
a thing. Yeah, it just doesn't have enough bumping people. But yeah, I mean, print materials are important if you're going to a con or something like that. You want to have stuff. And they do posters.
Hmm.
They do flyers. They do t-shirts. So any of these things, it's available. And if you go to their site, there'll be a little web order form. If you enter the code CGS for Chicago Game Entrepreneur Show, you will get 15% off your first order.
CGS?
CGS.
15% off?
Yep.
Nice.
So literally, no lose, guys. Just go. If you got anything you need to print, if you need, you know, business cards to pick up chicks.
Sweet.
Just go to InnoPrints.com. That's InnoPrints.com and enter the code CGS.
Great. Well, this has been a fun podcast.
This is a good one.
Show.
Apologies.
Generic show.
Yeah, apologies on the late release, but hopefully we'll be a little more regular.
Yeah, I think we've got a cool bunch of guests.
Yes,
kind of,
that was the other thing
contact.
About BitBash. We got a whole bunch of guests lined up from BitBash. So
sweet.
It's going to be good.
Awesome.
All right, I'm Kiwon Hong again, at Kiwon Hong on Twitter. And my game is Contract Work. It's facebook.com/contractworkgame.
And I'm Rob Lockhart, at Bobby Locks on Twitter. And my game's Codemancer, codemancergame.com.
Awesome.
Thanks for tuning in the Chicago Gamepreneur Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's show and hope you'll be back again to share more stories from Sweet Home Chicago.